Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Abel, the presence of God is one of the many spiritual resources that has been made available for our victory. We are in a world that is under great contention from the realms of the spirit. The visible realm is the last created realm of divinity. Before the earth was created, the spirit realm and the heaven had been created. Spiritual entities had also been created. In fact, there was already a well-established government in the spirit. A government ruled by God along spiritual entities that he had designated different levels of rankings and authorities. So you have what the Bible called thrones. You study Revelation chapter 4, you find the Bible speak of 24 thrones upon which sat 24 elders. And then there were other princes called dominions. There were princes, or there are princes called principalities. There are princes called powers. These are entities of honor in the realms of the spirit, functioning within the context of divine government. And then there are angels that run errands in the spirit realm. So the system was already well defined. In fact, some of those entities were already designated territories in the spirit where they ruled over. There were princes that had authority to exercise governance, legislation over different territories before man was created. You study Isaiah 14, from verse 12 to 14, the Bible speaks of a prince called Lucifer, the son of the morning. If you go down to verse 17, the Bible called him that weakened the nations. And they said the princes looked upon him and they were surprised. So there are princes in that realm. There are authorities. There are dominions. In fact, in my study of scripture, one of the many reasons why God created man, and I've told you here before, God created us for the purpose of intimacy. The Bible said in Deuteronomy 32 verse 9, it said the lost portion is his people. It said Israel is my inheritance. The lost portion. He created us for intimacy. And that intimacy is to help us gain experiential knowledge of him. And on the strength of that intimacy, we can produce divine possibilities. Number two, I've taught you here that God created us so we could worship him. Isaiah 43:21, he said, these people have I created to show forth my praise. God is seeking through worshipers to worship in spirit and in truth. John 14. 23 and 24. I've also taught you that God created us to allow us experience and participate in kingdom advancement. Matthew 6:10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So there are many reasons for which we were created. But one of the most cardinal amongst them in my study of scripture is the understanding of the fact that there was an agenda God had when he created the first earth that was about to be truncated. Because in Genesis 1 verse 1, it said in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. So the earth was created after the heavens, at the beginning. Then there was chaos because judgment came upon the earth. The Bible said, and the earth was void. and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So the first earth that God created was destroyed. Darkness, the word used in that scripture is the word tohu, bohu. It's emptiness, nothingness, desolation and chaos. That was the situation of the earth. And then God returned and recreated the face of the earth. That's why you never read where light was created from, where darkness was created from, where water was created from, where the earth was created from. These things were already created. God only came to restore order. So he separated them. He called the light out of the darkness. He separated the dry ground from the waters. He called the animals to appear from the earth. And everything that went into chaos, God reordered to have this second phase of the earth. But this time around, there was no governor to rule over this earth. Because the way God designed the realm, there are princes that he allocates territories to rule on his behalf. But the first prince that was over the earth was not satisfied. He said, I will exalt my throne. I will ascend to the sides of the north and be like the Most High. He was given a territory, a jurisdiction for governance. But that was not enough. He wanted to enter the council of the Godhead. And the Bible considered it to be high treason. And on account of that, he was cast from Eden. Does it not shock you that there was an Eden before the Eden, you know? And when he was cast out of God's presence, the Bible told us God had to reconstruct the earth and establish a new governor. It was on the strength of that the creation of man became necessary. So God created us to take on the assignment of representing him in this universe. The assignment of exercising his invincible government on the face of the earth. Because that was what the prince that was cast out was doing before. And this is why, the moment God created the man, the assignment was priesthood and kingship. Dress the garden. Keep it. Dress the garden. It's not go about cutting grasses. Dress the garden means establish order in the visible realm exactly as it is in heaven. You will not understand that until when Moses was to build the tabernacle. He said, build according to the pattern that was revealed to you on the mount. So the way you dress the garden is to ensure that everything happening in this context is in alignment with the heaven. And that assignment is priesthood. And then keep the garden means exercise my authority over your jurisdiction. Don't let any foreign government come here to introduce another policy, to introduce another will, to introduce another wisdom. The man didn't understand. And true to it, the serpent came with subtlety. Did God say? And he rebelled against God. Because he didn't know that there is a kingdom assignment that requires a king priest to carry out. You have to be connected to God to exercise it. And you have to exercise God's authority to keep the territory. He didn't know that. He was deceived into rebellion. And the earth fell again. But they know not. Neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. Psalm 82 verse 5 and 6. I have said, ye are gods, because you are the children of the Most High. He said, but you will fall like one of the princes. And because of that, he said, the foundation of the earth is out of course. So the mosquito suddenly began to develop appetite for blood. The lion that should eat grass developed appetite for flesh. Suddenly, seasons were perverted. The blueprint of creation had been altered. And man himself had fallen from glory. So Jesus came on a unique errand to restore man back to his dominion. But now that man has been restored to dominion, he will not just have the life of Christ, but he must also understand the divine utensils and equipping to be able to exercise dominion. Because he was created to connect to God and to control the realm. Priesthood is connectivity. Dominion is order. For him to do that, he needs divine utensils. And there are many of such that God gave us. The word is one of them. The name of Jesus is another. The blood of Jesus is another. Many weapons. Righteousness is another. But of all of these, there is one that is not just a weapon you receive from God to use. There is one that is God himself coming into the scene. And that weapon is what we call the presence of God. You can use the name of Jesus because you have revelation and faith in him. You can use the word of God because he sent it into your spirit as a rhema. But for you to walk in the presence, God himself has to be around. This is why one of the most potent instruments for dominion in this realm is the instrument of divine presence. And every believer who will have consistently a strategic advantage over the enemy, over circumstances, and in addition exercise dominion, must master how to harness and to walk in the presence of God. It is our inheritance, but there is a protocol of harnessing and walking in it. I want to show you tonight how to harness God's presence and how to deploy it as an instrument of prevailing. And then I will show you also benefits of the presence. Because our time is fast spent, I won't dwell too much on my points. But you write them down, take them home, pray over them, and you will see the wealth of revelation that the Holy Ghost will bring into your spirit. But very quickly, let me show us what God's presence is and the three basic degrees of the operation of the presence of God. When we speak of God's presence, we are talking about his manifest. His manifest expression in the likeness of his character, power, and glory, which is perceived spiritually yet tangibly. The manifest expression of God in the likeness of his character, his power, and his glory, perceived spiritually yet tangible. When he becomes tangible, then he can become an instrument of war and an advantage. Because there are three basic degrees of the manifestation of God's presence. Only one is tangible. The first one is what we call omnipresence. God is everywhere, at every time, and in every time. Anywhere God's presence departs from ceases to be part of existence. What animates and substantiates existence is not air. What animates and substantiates existence is the life force of God. And so anywhere that the life force of God depletes will die and spiral into nothingness. Because creation is actually like a container that God wears. That's why the Bible said, in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. The Bible speaking, it said in Romans 1:19-20, it said the invincible attributes of God, even his eternal power and Godhead, is made manifest by the elements of creation. So there is a dimension of God we call omnipresence. You have left yesterday, you are in today. Trusting God to enter tomorrow, God is still in yesterday. He's already in today and he's already in tomorrow. If God leaves yesterday the way you and I left, yesterday we crash. And if yesterday is removed from existence, the circuit of existence will crash. That's why he's called Alpha Omega. It's not beginning and end. No, it's actually beginning end. What it means is that he is presently at the end and presently in the beginning. He never moves out of any realm. That's what it means for God to be in every time. So he's not just at every time, he is in every time. He's in yesterday, he's in tomorrow, and he's already in today. It's called the omnipresent dimension of God. It is just the essence of God that keeps existence in place. But you see, God is omnipresent, but that may not affect your individual life. You must understand that this omnipresent God must be made tangible in your personal life. It's just like anywhere you are on earth, you are in the envelope of air. But if air does not enter you and come out, you will die. So there must be a mechanism that makes you touch tangibly the omnipresent presence of God. But understand this first, that God is omnipresent. Look at the way the Bible puts it. Psalm 139 verse 7 to 10. Where project it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? Where can I go? Next verse. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Even in hell. Because nothing exists outside of God. It speaks of the omnipresence of God. He is everywhere, at every time, in every time. In Psalm 24, 23, in Psalm 23, 24, he said he fills the heaven and the earth. He fills it. He saturates it. But that's not all there is about God's presence. This one speaks of his authority and dominion, but it may not profit you much. For God's presence to profit you, you must step into another degree of his presence. And the second degree of God's presence is what we call the indwelling presence. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, the Bible makes us understand clearly. Know ye not that you are the temple of God and that his spirit dwells in you? Now, God is omnipresent, but not everybody on earth is necessarily blessed by God in a specific manner. In fact, not everybody on earth will benefit from the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Because for you to do that, you have to believe in God, then God enters into you by the Holy Spirit. That's what brings eternal life into you. So a man must have the indwelling presence of God as the second degree of God's blessing or presence to begin to draw from God's blessing. The difference between you and the unbeliever is that God lives in you. The Bible says Christ in you is the hope of glory. Colossians 1, 26, 27. Christ in you. The reason you are sure that at the end of time, you will not end like every other person, that there is glory awaiting you, is because of the indwelling presence. That's what makes you a child of God. That's what gives you an inheritance in the kingdom. But again, that is an insurance. It's still not enough. You need yet another degree of God's presence. And that's what we call the manifest presence of God. Do you know that before we came here, God was in this tent? Do you know God can be in this tent and they can organize a party here and sing worldly songs and do all kinds of iniquity? But when we came here, through the worship, through the prayer, what did we do? We made tangible the omnipresent to become the Shekinah, the manifest presence. People could now touch. People could now interact with it. So every believer who will prevail by the presence must master how to harness God's presence until it becomes tangible. Exodus 33, verse 14 to 15. My presence will go with you. You're already everywhere. He was talking about the tangible presence of God. And you read Exodus 13, 21. When they left Egypt, he went with them as a pillar of fire by night and as a pillar of cloud by day. He is everywhere. But for Israel, it was a Shekinah. It was a covering. He was tangible. This is why you see all the massive things that were done in the wilderness. Because it was tangible. When Balaam was called to curse Israel, he said there's no enchantment against Jacob. There's no divination against Israel. Why? The shout of the king is in their midst. There was something tangible happening there. Every believer has the omnipresent. In fact, everybody on earth has the omnipresent. So long as he's walking in time. Every believer has the indwelling presence. Otherwise, he could not have been a believer. The Bible says, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, then you are none of his. So it takes God into living in you to be his. But not every believer have the manifest presence. Only the believer who carries the manifest presence can use the presence as a weapon. This is why, in addition to the indwelling presence, you must master the act of harnessing the presence. Make him tangible in your life. And so tonight, before I show you how to harness God's presence, let me give you a few blessings of walking in the manifest presence. This is where believers are separated into cadres. Same price was paid for all of us. We were all bought with the blood of Jesus. God is not a respecter of persons. He respects all of us equally. God is not biased. He loves all of us equally. Gives all of us opportunities. But how much of it will we make the most of depends on what we do about these things. For those who carry God's manifest presence, there are tokens, there are indicators, there are advantages they enjoy that is exclusive to them. You may envy them, you can't change it. And desire alone can't bring it. There is a protocol that you must subject yourself to. Now, quickly, what are the benefits of sustaining the tangible presence of God? Number one, divine direction. A man who has the tangible presence of God is never confused. This is why you look at some people's life. There's so much precision. They enter a business and invested. That period they entered, that's where there was a boom. And the moment they pulled out, it crashed. And you are wondering, how did you know when to buy and sell? This thing is beyond buying and selling. There is a spiritual whisper that makes the difference. Scripture I quoted for you a moment ago. In Exodus 13:21. Why was the pillar of fire there? Why was the pillar of cloud there? Amongst other things, the Bible said it was to lead them in the way that they should go. So the presence of God is direction. For those who carry it. If you study Isaiah 30:21, it's even when you are in the wrong direction, there may be no prophet there to tell you. It's that you will hear a voice behind you. That one is not omnipotence that does that. It's not indwelling presence that does that. It's the tangible dimension of God that you have harnessed that will tell you, my son, you are in the wrong direction. This is the secret of invincibility. I tell you here over and over again, if you are in the wrong direction, speed is not an advantage. There's no point heading towards Kenya when your destination is in the opposite direction. Maybe Zambia. Even if you are flying in a supersonic jet, every speed ground you cover is a wasted time. So before you talk speed, talk direction. One of the excellency of divine presence is direction. That's one of the power that Jesus wielded. The Bible said himself knew what he should do. Anybody who has direction is a commander by default. The Bible said of the children of Issachar, it said, "This be the man that had understanding." 1 Chronicles 12:32, of times and seasons. They knew what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200. And he said, all their brethren were at their commandment. Don't pursue position when you don't have the capacity to function as the compass. The one who has the competence for direction is the leader by default. And so when God gives us his presence, is to give us direction. And when he gives us direction, he makes us the head, not the tail. Because it's the head that leads. Number two, benefit of the presence is protection and covering from evil and danger. You heard me quote a moment ago, Psalm 114, verse 1 to 3. I was sharing with you last week, I told you, the man of faith, when he confronts a mountain, he needs to address the mountain for the mountain to move. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, if there's a mountain before you, say to that mountain, be thou removed. And he said, if you do not doubt in your heart, you will have whatsoever you say. That's the level of the man of faith. But look at the realm of the man of the presence. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of a strange language, the Bible said, Judah, help me be fast. Judah was a sanctuary. Israel was his dominion. What did the presence do? Verse 3 to 5. The sea saw it and fled. You don't need to carry a mantle and hit the Jordan and say depart. No. There's a level where the sea separates. There's another level where the sea go back. The sea saw them and fled. So, seas can run. And when we talk sea, we are not just talking water bodies. In the spirit, prophetically speaking, sea and water speaks of men, multitude, and nations. So what it means is that nobody can gang up against you successfully, sir. If they must gather, they will be wise to gather in your favor. Because the Bible said in Isaiah 54, verse 15, it says, they gather, they will fall. I was thinking he will say, because of God. He said, for your sake. So what do you carry? It's God's presence. The sea saw them and fled. Jordan was driven back. And he said, the mountains skipped like rams and little hills like lambs. And then there was a shock. And they asked the question, what ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? Thou Jordan, that thou was driven back. He said, oh ye mountains, that you skip like rams. Little hills, why are you skipping like lamb? Hear their reply. I say, even your challenges, have intelligence to know that it's foolishness to confront you when you carry God's presence. You think your challenges are not educated? See their reply. Tremble, thou art at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. So while the guy of faith is telling the mountain, go out in the name of Jesus, the man of presence shows up. And when he comes, the mountain has sense to get out of the way. So while you are using faith on the left hand, use the presence on the right hand. Both of them are weapons. Look at the way the psalmist put it. Psalm 91 from verse 1 to 8. Let's read very fast. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. He said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. See what God's presence becomes for you. a fortress. Do you know what a fortress is? A fortress is a fortified region of safety. Fortress. That's where nations hide their leaders. That's where they hide their sensitive weapons. And this type of fortress, no bunker buster can break it. I'm talking fortress that God himself fortified. You wonder why you some people, things go wrong, they are standing. And you say, why are you like this? They are covered. See, somebody will receive a covering from this army. He said, surely, this is assurance. On my integrity, I can assure you, he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. He shall be thy shield and buckler. If things come to hit you, God will be the one to resist them. Imagine the fortification. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrows that fly by day, nor of the pestilence that walketh in darkness, or the destruction that wasted in noonday. See the one that blew my mind. Verse 7. 1,000 shall fall by your side. 10,000. See, don't make the mistake of saying they have fired everybody. You are not everybody. It is happening to everybody. You are not everybody. This is 11,000 people falling by your side in one day. They say none of it will touch you. Only with your eyes you will see and behold the recompense of the wicked. But why is it so? Because you are made God. Even my refuge, the Most High, your habitation. He dwells in the present. David knew this. And he built his house in God's presence. Hope you know, David had some of the best warriors that history ever recorded. The Bible spoke of one. He called him Adoni the Ethnite. He took a spear and slaughtered a whole battalion. He said, Eleazar, the son of Dodo, he carried a spear. He fought from morning till night. When the enemies died, he wanted to open his hand. He couldn't. The guy became one with his weapon. He was as swift as the spear. He said, Shammah, the son of Agi, a whole military battalion ran away. He stood as one man, fought from morning till night, defended the territory that had the lentils. Such were the armies of David. The Bible called them the first three in rank. And there was another three. The Bible said David desired that he might drink water from the well that was in the garrison of the Philistine. And three men said, is that what he wants? They didn't call any army. Three people. The Bible said they broke into the garrison of the Philistine. Do you know what a garrison is? We don't have time. I would have asked Mama to help us. Because that's a military general. He would have told you what a garrison. How many soldiers? Mama, how many soldiers are in a garrison? She's shaking her head. Over 7 to 12 battalions. Three people entered and broke through. What were they doing? To draw water from where? That means while one was drawing water, two were fighting. Over 12,000 soldiers. And when they finished, that one carried the water and was coming. And the two fought. They broke through again. And returned the water and gave David. When David collected it, he said, no, this is not water. He poured it as an oblation. This one is blood. That was the kind of soldiers that David had. But guess what David calls his safety? Psalm 23 verse 1 to 5. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The armies may fail. The soldiers may fail. But the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. If God is your covering, even where men die, you'll be comforted. See where God prospered him. He said, thou preparest a table for me in the midst of my enemies. My cup runneth over. A man is having abundance in the midst of enemies. What can make that happen? Except that Tzabaoth. Oh my. Tzabaoth came out. The majesty, the king eternal. Only him can do that. No wonder when David went to challenge Goliath, he said, you come against me with bows and arrows. He said, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God of hosts, whose army you have defied. Tzabaoth has shown up. Fire! Tehila Komarakaya. Yahweh Tzabaoth. Yahweh Tzabaoth. Yahweh Tzabaoth. I don't know the battles you are fighting, but as you walk out of this auditorium tonight, Tzabaoth will appear for you. I said Tzabaoth will appear for you. He can fight battles with weapons. He can fight battles of anger. He can fight battles of barrenness. Whichever kind of battle, he is the Lord of hosts. Oh my God, his voice is upon many waters. He thundereth. He divided the flames of fire. He causes the hinds to calve. There is none like him. Look at the life of Hannah. No child. The other woman was taunting her, making mockery of her. But when you come to 1 Samuel chapter 3, he said, talk not exceedingly arrogantly. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. He said, I will enlarge your mouth over your enemies. I will cause the bowl of the mighty to be broken. He lifted up the beggar from the dunghill. He lifted up the poor from the dust, that they may stand among princes and inherit thrones. Come on now. There's nothing impossible for him. Nothing. I speak over you. Every battle you are fighting until now, they are dissolved. Dominion requires mysteries. A friend of mine who works with the United Nations went for a meeting, and they told him, today, prepare yourself, because after the meeting, there will be a banquet. And he said, every time they recruit top functionaries, promote people to certain ranks, they have that banquet. And there's a man that used to come. If this guy entered, you are the one who think life is all about buying and selling. You go check some of these billionaires that you know. I'm not saying everybody is evil. If they don't bow to God, they'll bow to something else. And in this generation, they are not even ashamed. You think it's about selling cars alone? There's a place for competence. There's a place for economic intelligence. There's a place for diplomacy. There is a place for capacity building. There is a place for strategic partnership. All of these things are important. There's a place for productivity. But you remove priesthood, there can be no kingship. This brother entered the meeting. Suddenly this man, God opened his nose in the spirit. And the man was smelling fish. And he said, where did this guy come from?
That was when somebody has whispered to him that after this meeting, they are going to have a session with you. Whatever proposal he gives you, refuse. You know who that guy is? He comes from the water. Some of the people you meet in the market are not human beings. They wore clothes of animals. They wear clothes of men. And you think you are talking English. Another friend went for a board meeting of CEOs of banks. And God opened his eyes. He saw one of them. You would think he wore a suit. In the spirit, the guy was tying this old bente with these bags that warlocks wear. And as he's talking, he's chewing things. Meanwhile, people saw everybody with suit. If he chews and talk, you can't say no, even if it doesn't make sense. Priesthood. That's what brings to me. If you will be protected, you must be covered. And I prophesy over someone. The tangible dimension of God's presence, it will envelop you tonight. Please sit down for a moment. We need to move fast. Mountains are either removed or they skip out of your presence. Number three, why is the presence important? It brings rest and peace. We have many responsibilities. Even if Satan is not fighting you, sir, if you handle certain responsibilities, all your nerves will go haywire. I just finished a project with one of my friends, Leroy. Have you recovered? When we finished, he laid down as if he was dying. I said, what happened? He said, the whole part of his head is aching at the same time. I said, go and carry cold water. Pour on your head for 1 minute. And put pure water on your forehead. This one is not Satan. You have been exposed to pressure beyond you. So there is physical pressure. There is financial pressure. There is political pressure. There is spiritual pressure. You need rest. Some of you don't pay bills. This weekend, we are going to pay salary. The moment the month is coming to an end, your table, every paper coming from every unit is millions, millions, millions. Sometimes you will just, your head will become hot. Anybody who talks, cut, what, get out. You are not an angry person, sir. The nerves are under pressure. The way you recover is to enter the presence. The Bible said in Acts 3:19, times of refreshing cometh from the presence of the Lord. It comes, and it's when you have found rest that you can access inspiration for the next level. We move by inspiration, but in anxiety there can be no inspiration. He said to Moses, Exodus 33:14, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. So there is rest. There is refreshing in the presence. That's why most of you who don't stay in God's presence, you will burn out. The kind of schedules we keep, it's not about your center. It's in the presence. Isaiah 40:31. It said, they that wait upon the Lord, they renew their strength. They mount up with wings as eagles. He said, when they run, they are not weary. When they walk, they don't faint. There are times when for 3 weeks, every day, I'm ministering or traveling back to back to back. And everywhere you come, the people want you fresh. If you like, raise the dead in the last meeting. They don't care. They were not there. This is where they invited you to. God must show up. You can't wake up and say, I had backache, I couldn't come. What is that? We paid flight over $10,000. You come and you are saying backache. Which ache is that? You know you have backache. Why did you sign for the job? You must come up, sir. But the garment clothes you. And it renews you like the eagle. It causes you. See, this scripture all is telling you literally operate where God is. Because if you read that scripture from verse 28, these attributes is God that had them. He said, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary." So this is not human strength. He said, there's no searching of his understanding. Verse 29. He giveth power to the faint. Unto them that have no might, he increase their strength. You may read this verse and say, yeah, he's talking about old men. It's not old men. There are things that will overwhelm you even if you are young. Even if you are wise. So long as you are still at the frequency of a mortal man. He said, even the youth shall faint. The young men utterly fall. Because the youth and the young men are the zenith manifestation of human capacity. He said, even at that level, you will fail. But there is a strength that never depletes. He said, they that wait upon the Lord, when the glory comes down, he renews their strength. And they enter the God frequency. The same way God runs and doesn't faint, walks and doesn't get weary. He said, that becomes your dimension. So every day, you are having to lead different sectors requiring leadership, wisdom, inspiration, and it doesn't finish. You are in several boards, all of them asking questions, you are answering. You never run out of wisdom. That's not education. Harvard can't give you that. There's a spirit in a man. The breath of the Almighty giveth him understanding. Traveling from place to place, you don't break down. It's a strength from above. But the presence must be manifest. It gives you rest, refreshing, and it gives you peace. Number four, he empowers you to prosper. Genesis 39, verse 2 to 5. He empowers you. You don't prosper by luck. You don't prosper by chance. Even if your father is a billionaire and he gives you wealth, if you don't have what it takes to sustain it, give it time, it will vanish. It takes power to prosper. First, the power of productivity, the power of developing giftings, character, the power of investment, negotiation, and diplomacy. Then, spiritual power to harness favor, to harness goodwill, to harness strategic discernment. Those ones are not read. They are given. He said in Deuteronomy 8:17, don't say, it's with the strength of my hand that I made this fortune. If not, when I remove my hand, you'll be shocked. He said, you shall remember the Lord your God. It is him that giveth thee power to get well. It takes power to prosper. And that power is a byproduct of staying in God's presence. Look at Joseph. This was a foreigner. Not just a foreigner, but a slave. That was working as a houseboy. But see what the Bible said about him. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. How many slaves are prosperous in strange lands? And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So he was still a slave. But he prospered because the Lord was with him. Next verse. The master handed over his authority to Joseph. And his master saw, even the master, that's why I said his tangible manifest presence. The master saw that the Lord was with him. And that the Lord had made him to prosper. So even the master recognized that the guy prospered. And that was not what blew my mind. And Joseph found grace in his sight. And served, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house. And all that the Lord had put in his hand. Since you are prospering like this, you come and be my manager. This houseboy thing won't help me much. You know what Laban said? I have come to understand by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. He was telling Jacob.
The people of the world know. They can read stars. When you enter, they know what you came in with apart from your certificate. You need the presence so that you can flourish. In verse 21, when Joseph eventually ended in the prison, even in prison, he prospered. Who prospers in the prison? And all of that was just preparation. In Psalm 105 from verse 17, he said, the Lord sent him ahead of them. So that was God's errand. And he said, when the time that his word came, he said, the word tried him. The king sent for him. Lose him and let him go. He made him lord of his house, ruler of his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure, to teach his senators wisdom. He entered Egypt as a slave. He came out a prime minister. When a man carries God's presence, his beginning might be small, but don't worry, his latter end must greatly increase. Because the presence empowers you to prosper. This is why you must contend for it. There's no small thing, no such thing as being small in God's kingdom, unless you don't know what to do with God's presence. Number five. Glory to God. Joy and fulfillment. I will stop here because of time. I told you that at the end of your life, when you look back, only one thing will matter: whether you are fulfilled or not. And when you look forward into eternity, only one thing will matter: whether there's reward for you or not. Those are the two things at the end of the journey: fulfillment or reward. If you will live a fulfilled life, you must live a purposeful life. But purposeful living requires empowerment. That's where presence comes in. So when we speak about joy, it's not happiness. You buy a car, you can be happy. You are promoted, you can be happy. Somebody gives you something, you can be happy. But when you talk joy, it's an economy of the spirit. Only fulfillment can bet joy. And this is why the presence comes handy. The Bible says in Psalm 16 verse 11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, pleasures forevermore. Acts 3:19 calls it refreshing. Times of refreshing. Cometh. You know that joy is a weapon. The reason nothing can shake you is because even when outside is turbulent, inside is calm. Wise men told us the ship was designed to float on water, so no water sinks it. The only water that can sink the ship is the one that enters. What peace does is to secure the integrity of your borders. As such, even circumstances can make you float. So it's all things work together for them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. Peace, joy, fulfillment, rest. These are not things money can buy. There are many rich men who are troubled. Some sleep in coffee. Some are running. They don't know what is chasing them. But when you find the type that has God's presence, they are rich and there's no sorrow added. Because God makes men prosper. And the blessings of the Lord maketh rich and added no sorrow. So be rich in God's presence. And be rich in material things. And be rich in good works. That's the formula. Glory to God. These are the benefits of God's presence. Now, how do you develop the tangible dimension of the presence? I have 10 more minutes. I'll just run through them. How do you harness it until it becomes tangible? Number one, through a lifestyle of holiness and obedience. When Satan brings rebellion, he's trying to kick you out of God's presence or suck out God's presence from your life. Adam was created to live in Eden. He was under the saturated weight of God's presence until Satan taught him rebellion. All this, I'm sorry, Lord, you fall today, rise tomorrow. God will forgive you. The blood of Jesus makes sure of that. But you may never become great in this kingdom. Maybe you may go to the village with a ram and get the type of money that adds sorrow. But if it is God, there are credentials. You want to walk in God's presence, there must be a lifestyle of holiness and obedience. Psalm 24, verse 3 to 4. Hear the way the Bible puts it. Who shall ascend the hills of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Is it him that hath a clean hand, a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul in vanity or sworn deceitfully? Holy men carry God's presence. In fact, they don't just carry God's presence. The presence carry them. Knowing this first, 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. No prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Spirit. God carries them. God moves them. He moves them in power. Moves them in inspiration. Moves them in strategic seasons. Moves them to the place of their blessing. That's the power of God's presence. Harnessed through holiness. Number two, how do you develop or harness divine presence? Through a lifestyle of prayer and fellowship. Look at the way Jesus was described. John 1 verse 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. The life was the light of man. The light shineth in the darkness. The darkness comprehends it not. You will assume, you are God, you are creator, you are life. You don't need any form of interaction. So long as you are in this body, you need intimacy to manifest God. So long as even Jesus, in Mark 1:35, the Bible said early in the morning, Jesus went to a solitary place. There he prayed. That was his lifestyle. He built a relationship. In Luke 5, verse 16 and 17, the Bible said Jesus withdrew from the people. He went to a solitary place and prayed. Verse 17, as he was teaching, the power of God was present to heal. It's a technology. In Matthew 17, verse 2 and 3, 8 days later, he took Peter, James, and John to the mountain. And as he prayed, presence began to intensify. It was a harnessing protocol. The fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment began to glister. When that experience finished, you read the same story in Luke 9, 28 to 35. Jesus returned from the mountain. Here was his disciples using formula to cast out demons. We did it the last time now. Why are they not going now? It's not a formula, sir. How much of him do you carry? What's the condition of your faith? They kept shouting. The demon wouldn't go. Guess what? The man too had no courtesy. Men of God are already struggling. They are ashamed, sweating. At least help them now. When Jesus came, we brought our son. Who was thoroughly vexed of demon. But your disciples couldn't cast. Jesus was so pained. He looked at them. You perverse generation. Hey! The moment Jesus turned, the demon could recognize God. Don't just go with a name. Go with a formula. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? Come with covering. Let God's presence be on your life. But the way to do it is to stay with Him. If you don't stay with Him, He will rub off on you. Those who carry Him, stay there. Exodus 34, 29 to 30. Moses was there for 40 days. The Bible said as they returned, even Moses was not aware that something had rubbed off. His face was glowing. That glow in your life can be favor. That glow in your life can be wisdom. That glow in your life can be goodwill. One of the biggest blessings you have in this life is goodwill. That if you put anything out and your name is on it, people accept it. Oh, every great man has goodwill as a blessing. But these things rub off on us when we stay in God's presence. Some of us can't stay there. Even when you come to church and church wants to help cook you. After 2 minutes, let's look at the sky. Is it blue today? You were at home, you couldn't do it. You stayed for 5 minutes, you entered kitchen, opened pot, covered it, carry spoon, put there. No, you, something is pursuing you from there. It's a disease of the soul. Stay there! He said, to whom belongeth redness of eyes? Is they that tarry? They tarry long. You think a spirit will just commit himself to you casually? Even you who is a man, do you meet somebody 5 minutes every day and you bring him to your bedroom or make him a board member in your company? You have to build a nest and stay. That's how it works. Spend time in prayer. Number three, how do you build God's presence? Meditate on the word. When you stay with the word, after a while it will show. I'm simplifying this. Please learn it. I'm telling you, you will end up either being the architect of your progress or your misfortune. The realm has become open to everyone. The days of holiest of all is no more. All of us carry the fullness of God. What you make out of it is your choice. In 2 Timothy 4:13 and 15, it says, until I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. It says, give thyself wholly to this thing. Your profit will be made manifest to all. The word of God, I told you, it has three dimensions. There is the graphe of God. 1 Timothy 3:16, that's the written word. That one carries instructions. It carries correction. It carries principles. But there is the logos, which is the wisdom of God. The logos is trapped in the graphe. And then there's the rhema that comes from the mouth of God. But the rhema can also be broken out of the graphe. This is why you meditate on God's word. So that you move from the written to the wisdom and the power. This book of the law, Joshua 1:8, shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate upon it day and night. See that you obey what is written therein. Then you make your way prosperous. I thought you would say God will make you prosperous. No, you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. You want to be a carrier of divine presence. You must talk the word, chew the word, eat it until it chokes and saturates you. In Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor is seated in the seat of the scornful. It says, but his delight is on the law of the Lord. On this law, he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the rivers of living waters. He produces his fruit in his season. He said, whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. You come to a level in your life where there is no good season or bad season. You are a just man that goes from glory to glory. It's possible. Did you read your Bible? The flood that was killing people was what was sustaining the ark of Noah. So even bad season can be your good season. What do you carry and what is carrying you? Blessed art thou if it's God's presence. Number five, how do you develop the presence? Honor and reverence for God. I read to you Genesis 39 verse 2 and 4. You heard that God was with Joseph and prospered him. Did you ask how? In verse 9, Potiphar's wife threw herself at him. And Joseph said, no, not so, man. Not so. Your husband gave me everything, authority over everything in this house, except you, because you are his wife. How can I do this evil and sin against God? I won't do it. Even if it takes him to prison, he will stand his ground. I would rather leave your house and go to prison and keep God's presence than to stay in your house and lose God's presence. He knew what was more important. But eventually, even Potiphar, Joseph became greater than him. Don't compromise where you are. That place will soon be beneath you. But if you compromise, that will be your highest platform. Joseph would have been the most senior houseboy in Potiphar's house forever. He would have thought it's a blessing, but that would have been signing off the position of a prime minister. People don't fear God. That's why we are shouting, screaming, making declaration. Nothing is happening. In the days of our fathers, go read the Bible. A man could walk to a king and say, before God, whom I stand. They know the presence. 1 Kings 17 verse 1. You don't dare if you don't know where you are talking from. There shall be no rain or dew except by my word. You know what it means? You are in government, but we rule this land. The king thought he was a madman, and there was no drama. He finished talking and left. Few months later, weather didn't change again. Is it not supposed to be rainy season? What's going on? They call all the geographers. 6 months, 1 year. What did that man say his name is again? See, because of what you carry, they will look for you. A point came, both the king and Obadiah, because he saw that that was the closest person. They started looking for him from everywhere. But this man had mastered the presence. He was no longer walking in the presence. The presence was now carrying him. So much so that when Obadiah saw him, he said, okay, go tell the king I'm coming. Obadiah said, God forbid that I leave you. You think I don't know you? If I turn now, the presence of God will carry you. The presence became Elijah's chariot. That's dominion, sir. And guess what? Elijah showed up and said, now rain will come. But you must either choose God or Baal. Who gives kings conditions? When you carry God's presence, it makes you an authority. And he said, no, we won't do it privately. If we do it privately, propaganda is also a weapon. When we go to the mountain, the person who claims he has a living God will prove it. He that calls God fire from heaven, he is the one that has God. Now, have you experimented it, sir? When you stay there, they will show you inventions that are not in time. Hope you know, when Daniel entered the palace, everybody was in crisis. A hand came from somewhere and wrote, we don't know what it is. We don't know where it came from. We can't read it, let alone interpret it. The ancient showed up and looked at the king. Before he looked at the hand, he said, God gave you a kingdom that expanded from one part of the earth to another. But you choose to worship the God of stone and iron. This is why the hand came. So let me tell you why the hand came first. Now that I have explained, let's look at the word writing. I know where this hand came from. I live there. Mene, mene. Teke, ophathin. You have been judged. You have been weighed in the balances. Tonight, your kingdom shall be divided between the Medes and the Persians. Dominion comes from the presence. You are doing yourself a disfavor if you are not harnessing it. We wait for men for 6 weeks, 1 year. We dehumanize ourselves to win the approval of men. The Bible says, how can you believe when you desire the honor of men more than that of God? Don't despise men, honor men. God uses men. But listen, Let nobody take the place of God in your life. Otherwise, you are finished. He's the one who never changes. I am the Lord. I change it not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Presence. We don't have honor. That's why everything kills us. They went to the mountain. Elijah gave them money till night and was mocking them. Maybe your God traveled. I was asking myself, what audacity is this? What if you do it and it doesn't work? It cannot not work. I live where fire was created. I live there. When the time came, in order for you not to say it's a coincidence, pour water and fill the trenches. When they poured the water, the man who was educated, where the ancient ones dwelled, showed up and he began to invoke altars of their fathers. He erected 12 stones. And those 12 stones are the covenants of the 12 tribes of Israel. Ah! When he finished, you needed to hear utterance that is not taught in a school. He began to invoke the jealousy of God. And before he finished, fire descended from heaven. I speak over someone. From today, the impossible will begin to happen in your life. When you talk, systems will shake. When you talk, protocols will be broken. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please sit down. But it takes honor. Honor. Honor God in your heart, sir. God is not your colleague. God is not your friend. He's not your neighbor. He can allow you build relationship with him. But you must remember that you are like clay in his hand. He is your maker. He can break you and he can make you. There's too much undermining, dishonor, and irreverence in our generation. We are the men who can show up and say, before God, whom I stand. And it will matter. Israel was fighting a battle. Joshua saw that if night comes, they will be disadvantaged. And in Joshua 10:12, a mortal man stood up and said to the constellations, let the sun remain upon the mountains of Ajalon. Let the moon remain upon the valley of Gibeon. And he said the sun did not make haste to go down. What kind of power is that? These guys stand somewhere. The grace to remain steadfast in God's presence, it rests upon you from tonight. How do you build God's presence? Number 6, order. It takes order to sustain God's presence. Psalm 102 verse 16. It says, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. God is a king. If things are not orderly, he won't show up. First in your heart, then in your environment. It takes order. Your heart must sustain the decorum of honor, of purity, of worship. And then your environment must be built in such a way that all of the glory goes to God. A chaotic system can't host the majesty of that King Eternal. Look at what Moses said. Leviticus 9 verse 6. This is what the Lord commands that you must do. Then his glory shall appear. So these people know what to do for God to manifest. Talking order. Order. We are too spontaneous. Things can't be defined. In 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul said, until I come, if I tarry to come, know how you should behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the ground and the pillar of truth. He said, let all things be done decently. 1 Corinthians 14:40. And in order. In your personal life, let there be order if you want God's presence. There should be a time where you spend with God. There should be a time for your business. There should be a time for your family. Some people wake up. The moment they wake up, they carry file and begin business. If after 2 weeks they'll remember, Kai, morning in the morning is devotional, and they do it for 1 week and scattered. How will you create a highway for the king to enter? The great fathers knew they had order. The Bible said 3 times in a day, Daniel prayed facing Jerusalem. Jesus, he said, early in the morning, Mark 1:35, he went to a solitary place, he prayed. There was order. There should be time for your business. Like the brother who was testifying, he said he closes his shop and goes for evangelism. That's not order. Don't close your shop and go for evangelism. That is passion, but there's no wisdom. God may be allowing people to come while you close it, but it won't continue like that. So don't just wake up randomly and say, I want to win so and close shop. No, sir. No, sir. There should be a time of the week. In fact, study your business. Unless if you are part of a corporate system where you go out once in a while. Otherwise, if it's personal evangelism, study your business. Find out when you have the least sale. I know the place of sacrifice. What that means is that if you have to, you will. But if you don't have to, and there is a wisdom when you can check your time, when you feel that activities are low, you can go and do your business. And again, you can choose to use the whole of Sunday for evangelism. We need order. We need structure. Go and check Jesus' ministry. The Son of God had order. The Bible said in the church of Jesus, there was the 500, there was the 120, there was the 70, there was the 12, there was the 3, there was the 1. Nobody mixed up. You don't just wake up and, no. You don't send out the 70, you don't send out the 500, you send the 70. You don't send the 500 to the upper room, you send the 120. Go check Jesus' ministry. Every time men came to see Jesus, Philip and Nathaniel will appear. You never heard Peter's name there. Every time they needed food, Philip and Nathaniel will appear. Those are stewards. When there was money, Judas was there. And when there was leadership for apostolic governance, Peter, James, and John were there. There's order, sir. God doesn't show up where there's chaos. He said, let everything be done in order. And it should be done decently. And as I round up, you want to see God's presence, there must be intense worship and praise. You don't honor him, he won't show up. You want to see him, worship him. Honor him. 2 Chronicles 5, verse 13 and 14. The presence hit the temple so much, people couldn't stand. And it came even to pass, as trumpeters, as singers, were as one to make sound to be heard, in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, his mercies endureth forever. Guess what happened? Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. When you praise him, he saturates you. He saturates your environment. Be not drunk with wine. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. Wherein is excess? He said, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual song, making melody in your heart to the Lord and giving thanks. You are filled. You want to see God's presence? Build a lifestyle of worship and praise. From today, if your life doesn't carry the tangible presence of God, it's because you don't want to. You know how now. Can we rise up? Today is Thanksgiving, so let's experiment the last one. God already began with us this evening, with intense presence. Just by worshiping him. And things move. Can you lift those hands and give him thanks? I've taught you how to thank God before. Number one, heart posture of gratitude. Number two, songs of praise. Number three, a dance in honor. Number four, presenting your substance before him. The Bible said, let The people praise thee, and then the earth shall yield her increase. Because you have praised him, I decree and declare, everything you lay your hands to do is commanded to prosper.
He said the 24 elders, they fell on their faces, they cast their crowns, and they remain relevant. Because you have reverenced him, this is the beginning of your relevance. Your horn is exalted. Your position is established. Your next level is guaranteed. In the name of Jesus Christ. Even in prison, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. And the Bible said the gates of the prison opened. As you have lifted your voice in praise, anything that has incarcerated you, or incapacitated you, or overwhelmed you, they are commanded to collapse now. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says Jesus lifted 5 loaves and 2 fish. He gave thanks and he multiplied. Even Aaron's staff budded in the presence. Because you have come under this atmosphere of God's presence, I speak prosperity over your life. Let your businesses multiply. Let your career flourish. Let your career flourish. Prosper in the name of Jesus Christ. Finally, when he gave thanks at the tomb of Lazarus, the miraculous opened. Even the dead came back to life. Whatever you have lost, I speak restoration over you now. In the next 7 days, everything you have lost is routed back to your life in the name of Jesus. Let God become your helper. Receive the help of God. Receive the help of God. Ete makona, ete makona, ete makona, ete makona, ayini bazanji zoro, ete makona, ete makona, bazanji buna, ete makona, ete makona, ete makona. Everything that crippled you, everything that oppressed you, from today, when you're sure they will vanish, go forward and prosper. In Jesus' mighty name. As I step down, you are here tonight, you have not made Jesus your Lord, you can never have God's presence. You want to make that decision, lift your hand. We don't have the time to call you out. I'm seeing hands already. Lift it up. You want to surrender to Jesus. Place your right hand on your chest and say this prayer. On ground, in the overflow, online. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is your Son. I believe he died for my sins. Tonight, I confess with my mouth that this same risen Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, for receiving me. Jesus' name I have declared.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.